Good morning. We weren't sure how many of you would show up today. It seems like we were just here. But I'm glad you're here today because we have a lot to give praise to God for. And we're grateful that all of you are here. I know many of you are visiting from out of town. So for those of you who are family members in visiting, welcome especially to you. One of our global partners, Jim Hudson, is here. Here's Jim. Welcome, Jim. Lives in Chicago right now, but spends a lot of time in places we can't tell you about. And we're glad you're here. And others of you who traveled in, we're happy you're here today. Want to give thanks to God for His faithfulness. I had a message that I was planning to give, and I'm not sure what I'm going to preach on yet, because I have some things that I want to say to you in response to how our congregation has responded to the Lord in this Advent conspiracy, which was the project that we've been working on together to say, let's spend less and give more. And it's my privilege to tell you that our congregation in our two campuses has generously given $115,000 for this project. Yeah. And, you know, some people have already told us they want to give before the end of the year, and there's online giving, and so that's likely to even go up even more. And when I heard that, I felt like I wanted to just spend a little time in some scriptures that would help build the framework for how we respond even to this response, that we would have the right thinking about this. So I started reflecting in the Old Testament of David's call to the people of Israel to give an offering to build a temple. And when that happened in 1 Corinthians 29, David responded initially to calling all the congregation to say, who will consecrate yourself for this purpose to give to the Lord? And all of Israel responded that they would. And they began to give. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, O Lord, God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. For yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything in the heavens and on the earth is yours. And yours is the dominion, O Lord. And you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, O God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I, David said, and who are my people that we should be able to offer so generously as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given. We are but sojourners, tenants, as all our fathers were. And our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there's no hope. O Lord, all this abundance that we have provided to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand, and all is yours. Since I know, O Lord, that you try the heart and delight in uprightness, in the integrity of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy I have seen your people present here make their offerings so willingly to you. So David called the assembly together and said to them, now bless the Lord your God. And all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, and bowed low and did homage to the Lord and to the King. I think we should do that. So let's give thanks to the Lord. Now let's all give thanks for what He has allowed us to do for Him. Everything we gave was from Him, right? It's all from Him. It's all His. So let's give Him thanks together. Amen. That's good. Clap offering. That's real. That's a biblical, that is biblical precedent. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Now let's give thanks. Each of us silently, and then I'll lead us. But let's take a moment and just say thank you to the Lord for what He's given to us and what is now His. And let's give thanks. Lord, who are we that we would offer a gift like this for you, except people that have been touched by your grace? And we admit freely today that all that we have is from you, and all that we have given is for you. And we would never, apart from your grace in our own hearts, we would never have been able to offer a gift like that. And it is it's a gift we give in joy and pray that yours will be the glory for it. And I pray that as it is received around the world, that glory will be given to you in those places as well. And I pray that what will happen as a result of these gifts will be the enlargement of your name and reputation, the pronouncement of your gospel that transforms self-serving people into people who love and serve the living God. And I pray this will become a pattern of our life, that we will be increasingly generous. We give thanks to you that this is the work you're doing in our heart, releasing us from things and taking us deeper in our relationship with you. And we pray, O God, that there'll be no sense among us of a human accomplishment. We know this is a work of God, and we all just pause to give you the glory, to give praise to God for what you have done. Now we pray for our brothers and sisters in Sudan, for whom some of this gift will go. We pray that you'll bless them and encourage their lives, cause them to know that the Lord is good. We pray for Haiti and the terrible hunger and crisis that still exists there today. And we pray, God, that some of this relief will come to bless many and lead them to know that there's a God who loves them, has given Himself for them. We pray that faith will come to their hearts. We pray for families here in our own county who are receiving some relief in distress situations and domestic violence. And we pray that as the Safe House receives some of these resources, that you'll bless those families and lead women and children to faith in Christ. Lord, we pray that around the world, the name of Christ will be exalted and extended. We all just say, you, Lord, who are enthroned in heaven, you who gave the best gift to us, you be glorified. Now I pray that as we meet here, that you'll meet the needs of all who have gathered, some who need your special grace in their life today. They need a blessing from God, and I pray that you'll meet them. I thank you for all the extended families who are represented in the church today, for parents and grandparents and grandchildren who are here. And I pray that you'll strengthen our families. Strengthen us all, Lord, to know you and to love you and to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. There are a couple principles that I was going to make, sort of driving in. I thought we should talk about this today, about giving. Before we maybe preach what I was going to preach, and that is, there's something that you should know, that when we give to the Lord, we're really blessing God and reflecting Him. We said that we love because He first loved us, and we give because God is a giver. If you have a Bible with you, anybody bring your Bible? Okay, good. So turn with me for a moment to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. There's a Bible in front of you. I didn't look up the page for you. Sorry about that. But you can go to the table of contents. It's the blue one. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I want to encourage you with a couple principles about giving that I hope will inspire you and shape our thinking. So I was listening to Aaron lead us in worship this morning. I'm so thankful that, you know, we are, the gospel is the foundation of our life. So Aaron's been working hard, and I know when he leads music, he always reminds us that the gospel is the center of our message. I talked to somebody before service today, and he said, I'm so thankful. I looked around a lot of churches, and there are a lot of churches that don't teach the gospel. And, you know, so here's the gospel, that God gave His Son, and it's life-transforming. So, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5, Paul had already told the Corinthians that he needed them to give generously to supply the ministry that he was going to be a part of. And now he was coming to get it. And verse 5 says, I thought it necessary to urge the brethren that they would go ahead of you and arrange beforehand your previously promised bountiful gift. So Paul's saying to the Corinthians, you promised that you were going to support us. So I thought it would be good if I sent someone to remind you that you promised this. So that when I came, look at the end of verse 5, so that the same would be ready, the gift would be ready as a bountiful gift and not affected by what? Covetousness. Have you ever made a spiritual decision, say, I'm going to be more generous, and then you actually got a raise or you got a bonus or you got a year in and say, you know, I could use that. And Paul acknowledged the reality that, you know, you made a commitment to the Lord, but it's possible that after you make a commitment, you say, hey, I could use that, and be impacted by covetousness. And then he said, verse 6, now I say to you that he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully, but each person should do just as he purposed in his heart, not grudgingly, not under compulsion. What's the last phrase? God loves a cheerful giver. I want you to be encouraged in that, that God loves a cheerful giver. And I hope you've felt a total liberty in the Advent conspiracy, as I hope is always your experience here, that you give as unto the Lord, not because anybody guilts you into it, not because you feel compelled that you have to, but because this is your response as unto the Lord to say, I want to give so that God will be glorified, and I want to give as a reflection of what I've received. And I do it between me and God because God loves a cheerful giver. Hilarious giver. You give with real joy in your heart about that. And then this great verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Now, let me show you the two things that happen when you give in this way that you get the blessing for. Verse 12. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints. What Paul's saying is, what you did to give not only meets the needs of those who are going to receive this. So you can think to yourself, as we send these dollars to Sudan, to Haiti, and to families here in our own county, those needs are going to be met. But also, your giving is overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. What's going to happen is that when people receive this in these faraway places, what are they going to say? Thank God that there is a church in a place in the States that did not think only of themselves, but they gave to God, came to us. God, thank you. I mean, it's a beautiful picture, isn't it? How you're here, you respond to God, and God, in His sovereignty, is going to take that, drop it in Sudan, and they're going to be there, and they're going to say, God, thank you. Because you belong to God, they belong to God, and God is going to meet their needs through your generosity. Both your giving and their receiving is going to end up with God being praised. And that's the whole point, isn't it? Because verse 13 says, the proof being given by the ministry of your giving, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ, for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, and while they also, by prayer on your behalf, they'll yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. It's a nice way of saying, you just made some friends. And they're gonna yearn for you. They're going to say, man, I can't wait to meet those people in heaven who provided for our needs here in Sudan, here in Haiti, here in our distressed situation, because they were faithful to God. Now, this is what happens when people say to God, I want to do what you want me to do. God says, I can use you, and I'm going to use you in a place that you would never imagine, but your generosity is going to end up in Sudan and bless people. That is a very cool thing. That's what we say. When we say God is sovereign, I mean, this is a wonderful illustration of the sovereignty of God. That there are needs in places, and He stirs your heart to respond, and God puts the blessed in touch with those who need the blessing, and He sovereignly brings them together, and He's doing that all over the world. And what we want to say is, Lord, how do you want to use me? You know, what did you give to me that you want me to share with someone else? And the sovereignty of God brings all this together. I was thinking about the sovereignty of God in the Christmas story. A census went out that all the world should be taxed. Okay. So the census goes out. You think the Roman officials had any idea that when they said, we're going to call a census, that calling the census in God's sovereignty would lead this young man, Joseph, and his little bride, Mary, to end up in the very right place so that they could be in Bethlehem where Micah said 400 years earlier, oh, Bethlehem, that city, that will be the place that the Messiah will be born. What happened? Well, that's sovereignty, isn't it? That's God calling the Roman Empire to say a census will be taken and then bringing Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem and the babe's born. That's God working all things together for good, right? It's beautiful. Okay, have we got enough out of that one? Let me show you one more. If you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 12. And this is one more blessing for being a generous giver. that I just want to encourage you that as unto the Lord, this will be a lifestyle, not just a Christmas experience, but we'll be generous in our life, because here's what happens when we're generous, and I want you to be blessed in knowing this morning. Jesus really did put his finger on money a lot in the New Testament, and he said, be careful, because it'll ruin your life if you love it. And so he frequently told people, go and sell your possessions. And here in Luke chapter 12, verse 33, in fact, that's exactly what he said. Go and sell your possessions and give to charity. And make yourselves money belts which do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What's that promise? The promise is that as you give away your resources on earth, you do that as unto the Lord and say, Lord, I want to do this for you. I want you to be glorified as I give and help the needs of other people. You are actually putting a deposit into an eternal reward for yourself in heaven, so that when you are ushered into the kingdom of God, we will not all experience exactly the same reward. But your reward in heaven may be great if you're exceedingly generous on earth. It's one of the things that you'll be rewarded for, right? So, I mean, think carefully about eternal reward by being generous here on earth. This is what Jesus says repeatedly. Make a money belt that will not wear out. You have a wallet, you wear it in your back pocket, or you know, you wear out your purse from taking the credit card in and out of it all the time. You wear that out. But here's one that will not wear out if you lay up treasure in heaven by your giving. I want to encourage you and thank you again for your generosity, and want to remind you that as we do this, there is in heaven reward. You say, well, you know, is that a good motivation? I say, yes, it's a good motivation to be rewarded by Christ. He said it repeatedly. Great is your reward in heaven. Great is your reward in heaven. Great is your reward. I mean, he said you should anticipate eternal reward. Better that. I mean, think about how earnestly you think about your retirement. My retirement reward is my 401k. How you doing? you know, you work your whole life and think my reward at the end of my working days is that. Well, that's one thing. And that, you know, that didn't go so well in the last few years. But there's a way to make eternal reward that lasts forever by selling your possessions and giving to charity, being generous. And I just want to—I say that just to thank you and say you should be encouraged to know that great is your reward in heaven. I'm so blessed by what you've done here. Last thing I'll say is, this is my Christmas sweater from last year, and I didn't get a sweater this year. And we were saying, wouldn't it be good? I mean, get one less sweater. And we did. We got one less sweater and gave away. It was great. Well, I just wanted to encourage you with that. Now let me just give you my sermonette from this morning. Because it was called The Day After. That's what I called this message this morning, is that the day after Christmas and the day after a big event, and how can we prepare for what's coming? Lamentations is the text that I was turning to, and why don't we put that on the screen, and we'll read it out loud together. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. A great text for us to think about the close of 2010 and the launch of a new year together. the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. And I would just like to remind you that this very verse comes out of a context of suffering. And it comes to Israel at a time in which they were being judged for their unfaithfulness to God, and the whole city of Jerusalem had been destroyed. The temple had been burned. And in the midst of that, this is the lament. The loud cry is what lamentations means. It's a loud cry. Oh, Lord, why? And in the midst of that, this verse is found. His loving kindnesses never cease. Verse 20 says, surely my soul remembers, it's bowed down within me as I recall it to mind, and therefore I have hope. Could I just encourage you that as you face the coming year, we should anticipate there'll be many times of blessing and there'll be times of sadness too. That's the way most years go. They have hard times. And in the midst of hard times, Jeremiah, who we think probably wrote Lamentations, says, this is what I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope. When it goes bad for you, what do you think about? When it turns the wrong way for you in your estimation, what do you think about? This is what he said. I think about this, and therefore I have hope. God's loving kindness never ceases. They're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. You may have to work hard to find. Well, Lord, what am I thankful for? What's ahead? How can I trust you in the midst of this? But this is what we have hope in, that the Lord's loving kindnesses are new every morning. Therefore, I have hope in him. And then it says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him. To the person who seeks him, it is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. You may have to wait. You may have to wait on the Lord. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength and mount up with wings as eagles. I pray this year, as we face the coming year, that your heart will be stirred to say, Lord, I want to trust in you with my whole heart. There's another verse from Romans that I put on the screen that maybe will be a challenge for us as we think about the coming year. So we've maybe set some new priorities for ourselves as a congregation. That says, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of what? The scriptures, we might have hope. So, I would say to you, as you begin this new year, maybe this would be a good year to say, how much scripture do I have memorized and can I turn to really be the platform for my hope? And if you don't have much of it hidden in your heart, then maybe this would be the year to say, okay, I'm going to get really committed of putting into memory the Word of God so that I would have perseverance and hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, that with one accord and with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is exactly where we began this morning, giving glory to God. You know what will help you give glory to God? Being absolutely rooted and grounded in this word. Because this is the word that gives perseverance when things don't go well. It's the word that gives you instruction on all the things that you should be thankful for. The word of God. Right? So I'm going to ask us that this be the year we say, okay, back to the scriptures. Daily searching the scriptures. That we would know what God says and how to live. I pray that'll be true for us as a congregation. And that the things we've experienced with celebration this year would excel still more and more in the coming year. I pray that for you. Any questions? Aren't you thankful that the Word of God is true? Yeah. So we say it. Let's really give it our heart in the coming year. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray for all of us this morning. Some of us are going to have challenging times in the coming year, but I pray that you will lead us to be trusting in your holy word, and that we would be reminded that the mercies of God and the love of God is new every morning, which means that we could get up each morning and turn to you and know that you're there, that you love us, that you've demonstrated your kindness to us through Christ. And I pray, Father, that you'll encourage our hearts with your hope today. And that the end result of what we think about, even in this service, would be that with one voice, we would give glory to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we would do that in unity together because you have given the best gift to us in Christ, your Son. So, Lord, we're full of praise today. We're full of gratitude for what you've done in us. And we pray that you'll strengthen us for what lies ahead in 2011. And that it'll be a year of great encouragement and great faithfulness to you. Lord, I pray that you'll give hope to any who are in a distressful situation even today. And that they would say, Lord, this is what I bring to mind and therefore I have hope. The loving kindnesses of God never cease. They're new today. They'll be new tomorrow. They'll be new all year. They're new every day. So Lord, help us to walk by faith and trust. I pray for those who have burdens of health care. They've had a diagnosis in this year, and they need your help. Lord, please meet them. Give them your grace. I pray for those who need work and are waiting on you for the next job. Lord, I pray that you might meet them and provide for them. Give them hope while they wait. I pray for the families who are here today who have marriage crises. This was the year that divorce came. The kids left. Lord, I pray that you'll meet them. Give them hope. Help them to call to mind that the mercies of God are everlasting and new every day. Lord, lead us all, I pray, to a life of surrender to you, yieldedness to Christ, in which we say, our life is yours. All that we have, all that we possess is for you and your glory. Use us in the world to meet the needs of others, those who you send our way and those who we need to go to. Lord, I pray that our life will be a life of worship to you, not just in our lips, but in our life, in our going, in our giving, in our speaking, in our loving. Thank you that you've taught us to love, God. You've given us love through your Son, and so I pray that that will be the way we live. And again, we pray that all that we speak of and aspire to today will come to pass by your grace and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.